Hello, my name is Peshi Neuberger. Welcome to Torati Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek Kuf Yudachet, 118. This is the finale of Hallel HaMitzri, the Egyptian Hallel, and an exquisite psalm of thanksgiving. There is vibrancy to this Perek and a clear sense of responsive singing. The Medrash is full of suggestions of who the singers and the responders might be, which we will look at very soon. But first, let's take a look at the overall structure of the Perek. The first and last psukim create a framework for this psalm because they are identical. They are a public call for thanksgiving. Hodu Lashem ki tov ki lo'olam chasdo. Give thanks to Hashem for he is good. His kindness endures forever. This pasuk appears a number of times in Tehillim, and its ending, his kindness endures forever, is the ending of every verse in Perek Kuf Lamed Vav, also known as Hallel HaGadol, the Great Hallel, which is a coming attraction coming very soon to Nach Yomi. It is also a pasuk that holds extremely positive associations for me personally, because from as early as I can remember, this was the pasuk that my parents exclaimed when something amazing, way beyond a simple Baruch Hashem, happened. And if something extraordinary and more wonderful than amazing happened, we knew it because my parents not only invoked this pasuk, but they actually used the real name of God when they said it. Abarbanel differentiates between goodness, which applies to all that Hashem does, though at times that goodness may elude us, and kindness, which refers to clearly revealed acts of kindness, the things God does that actually feel good. The psalmist is assuring us that while God's kindness may be followed by stretches of hester panim, where his care and concern are not apparent, it will ultimately come back. His kindness endures forever. Psukim bet to Dalid, 2-4, continue the call for thanksgiving, this time asking the same three groups who were singled out for blessing in Perek Kuftet Vav, 115, the house of Israel, the house of Aaron, and the God-fearing people, to announce that his kindness endures forever. The body of the psalm begins with Pasuk He, 5, and until that, the very last Pasuk, it is a personal, first-person story. As we have seen before, it was very likely composed originally because of some event in David HaMelech's life, but incorporated into Tehillim because it speaks to our national experience in some way. The Perek is long, so we'll choose the highlights. First, there are echoes of our Mitzrayim experience that become extremely obvious once you see them. After all, it makes sense that they would be here because this is the culmination of Hallel HaMitzri, the Egyptian Hallel. First, the Pasuk Azi Vizimratka Vayihili Lishua. God is my strength and it behooves me to sing to him because he was my salvation. That is directly lifted from Shirat Hayam, from the Song of the Sea, which was sung right after the splitting of the sea, which immediately followed the exodus from Egypt. Makes sense to have that in a perek that concludes the song, the Hallel of Egypt. Second, in that same Song of the Sea, Shirat Hayam, there are three references to God's right hand. Yimincha Hashem Nedari Bakoach, Yimincha Hashem Tiratz Oyev, Natita Yimincha Tiflaim Oaretz. Your right hand, God, is strong. Your right hand smashes the enemy. Your right hand is outstretched and the earth swallows them up. In our Perek, Kuf Yud Chet, 118, we see Yimin Hashem Osachayel, the right hand of God, does valiantly. Yimin Hashem Romima, the right hand of God, is elevated in triumph. And again, Yimin Hashem Osachayel, the right hand of Hashem, does valiantly. That is not a coincidence. Three Yimin Chas, three right hands corresponding to three right hands in two compositions having to do with Egypt. And then finally, the opening Pasuk of the body, Pasuk 5. Min ha-meitzar karatika anani b'merchavka. From the straits, from the narrow straits where I was between a rock and a hard place, I called out to you, God, and you answered me by widening the straits. Mitzrayim sounds like Meitzar. In fact, many say it comes from that same root word of narrow straits, because we were in significant trouble in Mitzrayim. Radak cites two levels of meaning, different levels of meaning, which are suggested for this perek in a Gemara in Psachim. First, this perek, perhaps, this is the first opinion, refers to David himself and his personal experiences. Perhaps most specifically, the gratitude that he feels after Shaul's death, King Saul's death. Remember that he eulogized Shaul and Yonatan poetically and effusively in the public arena. But in his personal space, there's obviously an element of relief. The father-in-law who pursued him almost to the death no longer poses a threat. So, for example, according to this approach, when he turns to the three groups of people, he points out to each one what they specifically have to be grateful for now that he is king. Beit Yisrael, the house of Israel, the Jewish people as a whole. When Shaul was king, I was a leader, the military leader, who brought you in and out of war and protected you. But then, when he started to pursue me and I had to be on the run, I could no longer do that for you because I was in hiding. Now you ought to express gratitude to Hashem that I am king and can go back to taking very good care of you. Beit Aharon, the house of Aaron, Levi'im and Kohanim. You suffered a great loss when Shaul, as king, ordered Doeg the Edomite to kill out all the priests in the city of Nob. You should be grateful now to God that I am king, because you no longer have to live in fear of the whims of King Shaul. Yirei Hashem, God-fearing people. Well, now that I am king, I will, with God's help, restore tranquility to Israel, which is necessary for an environment filled with the pursuit of godly things, like learning and seeking out Hashem. Living in fear is not conducive to fearing God. The second layer of meaning in this perek, according to the Gemara, is that it is the voice of the Jewish people rejoicing in gratitude at the final redemption. Once again, let's look at the opening call for Thanksgiving and, seen in this light, what that means to each of the three groups. Beit Yisrael, the house of Israel, the Jewish people, it's obvious. Be thankful because you are now relieved from exile and subjugation. Beit Aharon, the Kohanim and Levi'im. Be thankful because for thousands of years you suffered a great loss when you could not do your service or your job in the Beit HaMikdash, in the temple. Be thankful that you can return to that. Yirei Hashem, God-fearing people, remember that when you feared men in governments, it took away from your fear of God. Now that fear of men in government is no longer there, your fear of God can be so much more highlighted. The strongest support for this approach, that the perek refers to the end of days, to the final redemption, comes at the end of the mizmor. It seems that the psalmist is just dying to get into the Beit HaMikdash. Pitchuli Sharei Tzedek, Avovam Odeka. Open up for me the righteous gates. Let me come through them. I need to thank God. Zaha Shar LaHashem, this is the gate of God. Tzadikim Yavovo, people who have been righteous deserve to come through it. And then a pasuk or two later, Evan Ma'asu HaBonim, Haita L'Rosh Pina. The stone that was rejected by the builders, the Jewish people who were dismissed by every nation, has now all of a sudden become the cornerstone. Me'et Hashem haita zot. This has got to be the work of God. He niflat be'einenu. It is way beyond our comprehension that this happened. Ze hayom asah Hashem nagila v'nismachavo. This is the day that God made. We will rejoice and be so happy in it. Baruch haba b'shem Hashem, says the Medrash. The Kohanim greet the Jewish people at the door and they say, welcome in the name of God. And the Jewish people respond to them, Berachnuchem mi Beit Hashem. We bless you in response now standing at the house of God. Kel Hashem, the Kohanim turn to them and say, the God, the strong God, Vayyair Lanu. He has lit up our night. So come in, Jewish people, Isru Chag Ba'avotim, and bind your Korban Chagiga, your holiday offering, with ropes ad Karnot HaMizbeach, to the ends of the altar. Clearly a sense of coming back into Beis HaMikdash. Let's conclude by seeing portions of the end of Hallel. Let's go back to seeing it from the prism of David's personal life. And it's really hard to pick because there are really compelling things on both ends. Before we do this, though, we need to review a few things. First, the story of the selection of a king from among the sons of Yishai. It's really the original Cinderella story, which may have been presented that way in Nachyomi, however many months ago. Just as the Grand Duke in Cinderella has gone to every other house in the kingdom and feels sure that the future princess must be in the stepmother's house, Shmuel HaNavi knows, because God has told him, that the future king is in this house, in Yishai's house. So when each of the seven sons is rejected, Shmuel HaNavi is frustrated and says just what the Grand Duke said. Are there no other lads in this house? And when Yishai dismissively says, well, there's the little one who's out with the sheep. Oh, just the maid, but she's hanging the laundry. Shmuel HaNavi insists that he be brought in for viewing. She too must try the slipper. And of course, the rest is history. Now, one more thing we have to review, and that is the Midrashic account explaining the unusual dynamic in Yishai's family. Why is it that David was so shunned by his brothers, and just in general by his family, and by the whole neighborhood probably? David's father, Yishai, was the grandson of Boaz and Ruth. And after several years of marriage to his wife, whose name, according to the Medrash, was Nitzevet, and after having had and raised several outstanding children with her, Yishai went through a midlife crisis and began to doubt the purity of his ancestry. He was the leading Torah authority of his day, but he couldn't get out of his mind that his grandmother, Ruth, was a convert from the nation of Moab. And though it had been ruled that only Moabite men are off limits, but women are fine to marry, there had been a fierce debate. And he began to question whether the conclusion to that debate had been correct, and perhaps he had been wrong in marrying a regular Jewish woman. So as painful as it was, he separated from his wife Nitzevet, and they were no longer living as man and wife. In time, he started to long for a child who would have unquestionable pedigree. So he arranged to marry a Canaanite maidservant, which a Moabite man is permitted to do. And this maidservant was so loyal to Nitzevet, her mistress, that she couldn't betray her, and she told her about the plan. So they schemed that Nitzevet went instead of the maidservant to Yishai that night. Yishai never realized it. Amazing what happened before artificial light was around. When Nitzevet, who obviously, as that happens in all stories like this, she became pregnant from that one night, when she began to show, the family was furious because they knew that Yishai and she had separated long ago and assumed that she must have had an affair and this child must be a mamzer, an illegitimate child. Yishai would not let his children harm her or the baby, but assured them that that baby would be treated in an inferior way so that nobody would ever forget that he was a mamzer. Back to our psalm. According to the Medrash, these four verses that we're about to look at were spoken as reactions to the moment of David's selection from his among his brothers. I will thank you because you answered me and you became my salvation, says the Medrash, was spoken by David at that moment. Even ma'asu habonim haita l'rosh pina, the stone that was rejected by the builders, or the sons, banim, bonim, very close, became the cornerstone, was spoken by Yishai, the father of David. Meit Hashem haita zot, hi niflat be'einenu. This must be an act of God. We don't get it, said the brothers. Ze hayom asa Hashem, nagila v'nismachavo. This is the day that God made. Let us rejoice and be happy on it, was said by Shmuel HaNavi. Could there have been a greater sense of personal redemption than this moment for David? Can we even imagine the gratitude he felt at being vindicated after 28 years of loneliness or worse? And if David HaMelech wants to leave us with a national prayer of thanksgiving for our first redemption from Egypt and ultimately for our final redemption, does it not make sense that it concludes by capturing the feelings of that delirious moment? May all of us merit the personal and national redemptions we yearn for. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.